welcome you in the Saviour's name and trust and pray that the Lord will undertake for you. I want to take our reading now from the Word of God. It's from the book of Daniel today. We're reading from Daniel chapter 3 and reading from verse number 13. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 13. The book of Daniel, chapter 3, reading from verse number 13. We'd begun to look last Lord's Day at this portion of Scripture in conjunction with some words found in 1 Peter concerning the fiery trial or the trial of faith, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, and then 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. But we'll read today from Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then these three men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonied, and rose up in the haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered, and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. And we'll end our reading there at verse number 25, knowing that God will add his own blessing to this reading of his own inspired and infallible word. So we'll maybe just leave that hymn there and turn again in our Bibles, please, to the book of Daniel, chapter 3, and we'll maybe sing another hymn at the end of the meeting. But it's Daniel, chapter 3, and let's pray very briefly just now that the Lord will write his word upon our hearts. Daniel chapter 3, and we want to consider today again some lessons from the furnace. And with God's word before us, let's just pray that the Lord will write his word upon our hearts. Our Father, we thank thee again for the truth of thy word. We thank thee that thy word is forever settled in heaven. And we thank thee that Job was able to say that whenever the Lord hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And O God, we pray that as we consider the trials oftentimes of the Christian life, that, Lord, we would come forth as gold, tried in the fire, bearing the image of our blessed Savior. I ask now for the help of heaven, for the anointing of God the Holy Ghost. I pray that thou wilt speak now to every heart in the Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. The last Lord's Day, we were considering something of the trial of faith concerning Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You'll remember that we thought about how King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, set up a great image of gold and commanded all nations, tribes, kindreds, and tongues to come and worship this great image that he had set up in the plain of Jura, just outside the province and city of Babylon. We considered how in the last days a great world empire and power will rise, and in the last days many will be called to worship after the great image that will be set up on the earth. In the last days, we're not exactly sure what form that image will take, but the Word of God tells us in the book of the Revelation, chapter 13, that in the last days all the world will worship and wonder after the image of the beast. It'll be a time, the Bible says, of great tribulation and great persecution, a time of sifting the wheat from the tares and the sheep from the goats. We considered last Lord's Day a couple of lessons from the furnace, from the fiery trial. The first one being that all who love and all who honor Jesus Christ face fiery trials. Peter says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you." And so what Peter is saying, that believers face trials. And we shouldn't wonder, and we shouldn't question, and we shouldn't reason why there are trials in the Christian life. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The other lesson that we considered last Lord's Day was sometimes those who honor God the most face the most severe of trials. Those who honor God the most are tried the most. I want to consider a couple of simple lessons with you again today. And you'll notice from Daniel chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonied. Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonied. In verse 25, he said, he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose." And I want you to notice from these texts of Scripture that whenever you go through the fiery trial as a believer, people watch you in the midst of the fire. People watch you in the midst of the fire. As Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found themselves cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace, all the while, perhaps even unknown to them, King Nebuchadnezzar was standing outside the smelting furnace, watching them in the midst of the fire. The king was watching them. You'll notice as well in verse number 8 of the same chapter, after this law and edict has been drawn up to worship Nebuchadnezzar's image, it says in verse number 8, "Wherefore, at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews." Verse number 12, "There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province. O king, they have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." And so you will notice that these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were watched by the world, and they were also watched by the king. And believer, I want to tell you today that whether you realize it or know it or not, people are watching you. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a testimony in the world. that they did not bow the knee and worship the image of Nebuchadnezzar. You know, I'm sure they could have justified it in their hearts. I'm sure as they thought about the repercussions of not bowing the knee, being imminent death and being cast into the fiery furnace, I'm sure Daniel's three friends could have said, well, you know, we could bow the knee, but we don't have to bow our hearts. And men, you know, we need to think about this. We could bow our heads, but we don't have to bow our spirits. And sure, the Lord knows all about it. They didn't look for loopholes in the midst of a trial, and the result was that they had a testimony in the world. And I want to tell you that people are watching you in the family, in the community, and in the workplace. And it's not so much your lips and what you say that the world is looking at, but it's your life. And the tragedy is that so often the life and the lips give a different testimony. Daniel's three friends had a testimony in the world, but they also had a testimony in the fire. Because we're told in verse 24, Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished or astonished at the testimony that these three men had in the midst of the burning and fiery furnace. You know, I put it to you today, as you look at the lives of these three young men that went into the province of Babylon as just young teenagers, and now later in life were found in the midst of a burning fiery furnace, I want to tell you that what these men had was a good testimony. A good testimony. You know, I think it's wonderful to hear salvation stories of people that have been delivered and redeemed from drugs, alcohol, prison, and all sorts of different things. But you know, today, the best testimony that any person can have is not what they were saved from, but what they are saved unto. A good testimony is not what you once were, but a good testimony is what you are presently. Whenever I was in the workplace, I used to often think, my testimony is not when or how I got saved. My testimony is what I am in the workplace. My testimony is what I am in the family. My testimony is what I am in the home. My testimony is what I am in the community. And dear friend, don't ever think that because you haven't been in a prison cell, don't think because you've never been a registered alcoholic, don't think because you've never been addicted to drugs, don't think because you've ever been through a broken home or several broken relationships and you've lived a life of sin in the eyes of the world, that you do not have a testimony to give. I believe with all my heart that the best testimony is the testimony, perhaps, of a young person like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have trusted, honored God, and walked with God in the midst of tremendous persecution and difficult circumstances. Daniel's three friends did not backslide whenever they were taken out of their own home, whenever they were taken out of their own country, and whenever they were thrown into Babylon. God's grace is not only sufficient to keep and to save, but it's also sufficient to preserve your testimony in the midst of all adversity. You remember God's servant Enoch. The word of God says in the book of Hebrews 11, verse 25, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. But before he was translated, he had this testimony that he pleased God. His testimony wasn't what he was before he met the Lord, but his testimony was his walk with God. Enoch walked with God. And dear friend, by God's grace, you can have a testimony, a good testimony like that. These men, like the one spoken of in Revelation 12, verse 11, they loved not their lives unto death. And as the world and as the king looked at these three young men, There was something supernatural about their religion. They loved not their lives unto death. And as Babylon and all the nations round about, and as Nebuchadnezzar looked at them, he saw, and the world saw, something that could not be explained upon the basis of the human. Here are men that are willing to honor God regardless of the cost. Here are people that are willing to go through with God without complaining. What a testimony. People were watching them in the midst of the fire. I wonder what people see in us as we go through fiery trials in life. A complaining, murmuring, or bitter spirit, or the faith that cannot be moved, or the faith that will not shrink in the midst of the fiery trial. Daniel's three friends were watched in the midst of the fire. Another lesson that I want you to learn from the furnace today is that God's grace will never lead you to a place where God's grace cannot keep you. God's grace will never lead you to a place where God's grace cannot keep you. We have to be absolutely honest today and say it was in the plan, will, purpose, and providence of a sovereign God that Daniel's three friends found themselves in the midst of a burning and fiery furnace. And humanly speaking, it was impossible for these three men to survive. And I want to tell you today that salvation is the greatest miracle that any person can ever experience. Salvation is something entirely supernatural. You cannot live the Christian life in the flesh. It is grace that saves, it is grace that keeps, and it is grace that ultimately leads you home to be with Christ. Remember the men, the strongest men in Nebuchadnezzar's army, took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and bound them. But whenever these three military leaders that had survived countless battles got to the mouth of the furnace, even the very heat of the furnace consumed these three men, but it didn't consume Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so it is with a profession of Christianity. There are people that say they're saved, but like the parable of the sower says, they spring up for a while, and then when the heat of affliction comes, whenever the sun rises, they wither and they perish. But God's grace is something supernatural. Whenever the Lord saves an individual, he gives them grace to go on. And the men died who cast them in. But the fire, we're told in verse 27, had no power on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The fire had no power upon them. God's grace led them into the midst of the burning fiery furnace, and God's grace was sufficient to sustain them and to keep them there. Let me ask you this morning, are you going through a trial? Maybe today your faith is being tried and tested. Maybe as you look towards the future, sometimes not a wise thing to do for God's people, better let God take control, but I know it's entirely natural, as I'm sure it was for Daniel's three friends, to look into those flames and to see the men that were leading them into those flames falling at their sides and wondering. I just wonder, did they wonder, is God's grace really sufficient for me? Well, I want to tell you today that God's grace is sufficient for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, humanly speaking, that fiery furnace would have zapped all their strength and incinerated them completely. But God's grace was sufficient for them. It was said of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the greatest preacher who ever lived since the days of the apostles. Every Lord's Day morning and every Lord's Day evening, whenever he went into his pulpit in the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, he used to quote that verse because he was so nervous as he went into the pulpit. His grace is sufficient for me. His grace is sufficient for me. His grace is sufficient for me. Until he opened his mouth publicly before the congregation, That was the verse of Scripture that Charles Haddon Spurgeon claimed. And God's grace truly is sufficient for you. God's grace will never lead you where God's grace cannot keep you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says to God's people, there hath no temptation or trial, that word could be translated, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Any trial, any affliction, any temptation that the devil brings up before you has to come via the throne of heavenly grace first. So it was in the book of Job, and so it is today. Lessons from the furnace. Those who love and honor God face trials. Those who honor God the most are often tried the most. People watch you in the fire. God's grace will never lead you where God's grace cannot keep you. But another lesson that I want you to learn today is that God's presence is always manifested in a special way in the midst of the fire. There's something about going through a fiery trial. There's something about going through a trial of faith that seems to manifest the presence of God in a more real, intimate, and special way than we would otherwise experience whenever we're just going through the mundane process of the Christian life. You look there at verse 25 again. The king was astonished. He looked into the fire and he says, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire and they have no hurt. Something that cannot be explained upon the basis of the human. Something entirely supernatural. And dear friends, if our faith in God is not supernatural, then it's superficial. And the king says, the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You know, oftentimes before Jesus Christ was born and manifest in the flesh in the stable in Bethlehem, there were times in Old Testament story whenever he appeared in physical forms and in different ways and in different manifestations. And I believe that this one that appeared with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three men, the one that appeared with them, the fourth man, was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if you read the Bible aright, and if you take any trial that you face in the Christian life, and you take that trial into the light of God's Word, and you bring that trial to the cross of Jesus Christ, there is no trial, and there is no temptation, and there is no furnace of affliction that God will call you to go through that he has not, first of all, gone through himself. David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And it was in the midst of the fire that Jesus Christ, God's Son, manifested his presence in a powerful way in the midst of these three men. You see, over 100 years before Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego entered into the nation of Babylon, there was a prophet by the name of Isaiah. And Isaiah had said in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse number 1, but now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God. And I believe it was by faith that Daniel's three friends entered into the fire. And the great question today is often asked, well, really, what is faith? Is it just a blind trust? Is it just stepping out into the dark? Is it just hoping and praying that God will undertake for us? Or is faith something more? Well, a little children's hymn pens it well. Faith is just believing what God says He will do. Dear friend, faith is the evidence of things not seen, or the substance of things not seen, and the evidence of things hoped for. Faith has got substance, and there's evidence that we have for trusting in God, and it's found in God's Word. You see, Daniel's three friends, whenever they were tried, they had faith. What was that faith in themselves? Was their faith in their faith? Was their faith kind of a flowery, mystical faith that could not be explained? Or was their faith in the Word of God? I believe it was. I believe as they thought about the Word of God and the prophecy of Isaiah, well, men, the Lord has said to us that whenever we walk through the fire, trusting in the Lord, that God will go before us and God will go with us, and the flame shall not light upon us, and neither shall we be burned. And there was something about the presence of God in the midst of the fire, because the Lord said in Isaiah, I am with thee. And God was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And there was something about this fiery trial that brought them closer to Jesus Christ. Do you remember the Apostle Paul? Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10 says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Paul had a desire to know Christ better. He knew Christ as his Savior, but he wanted to know Him in a more real and intimate way. And Paul says, I want to know Him, and if I am going to know Him, I would need to know something more about the fellowship of His sufferings. You know, I have to be honest this morning and say, affliction does absolutely nothing for us. There's nothing about affliction that sanctifies us or makes us holy. But it is the presence of God in the midst of affliction that sanctifies us and brings us into the presence of the living Christ. C.H. Spurgeon said, the refiner is never very far away from the mouth of the furnace whenever his gold is in the fire. You know, you're more precious than gold, silver, diamonds, or precious jewels in the sight of God. God never sent His Son to shed His blood to purchase rubies, gold, or silver. But God sent His Son to shed His precious blood to purchase your precious, never-dying soul. And there's something about going through the fiery furnace that makes the presence of God real, because we become to know something more about the fellowship of His sufferings. There's something about suffering that brings us closer to the cross. One preacher by the name of David Watson says, God never promises to save us from adversity, only to be with us in the midst of it. God doesn't promise to save us from adversity, but He does promise to be with us in the midst of it. Another lesson from the fiery furnace is that the trial of faith falls out to further God's cause. The trial of our faith often is used to further God's cause. Again, verse 24, the king was astonished. Couldn't believe what he was seeing. Couldn't believe these people that would go into the fire and be preserved by the hand of Almighty God. I was saying to some of the young people last night in a youth meeting over in Macrofelt concerning Napoleon. Napoleon, at the end of his life, said, you know, I have subdued nations by force. And he spoke about Caesar, and he spoke about Nero and some other great world leaders, and says, all these men subdued nations by force, but I just can't understand these Christians. They're willing to die for their leader, and he has not constrained them by force, but he constrains them by love. And Napoleon was astonished whenever he looked at persecuted Christians. So it was with King Nebuchadnezzar. And God worked, and despite of all physical and biological impossibilities, and we're told that whenever these men came out of the fiery furnace, that you couldn't even smell the smoke of fire on them, verse number 27. And that's an amazing thing. I remember years ago, my mum and dad had a couple of friends that lived out in the countryside, and this man had got a lot of things that he was going to burn out at the back of the house, and he'd a big haystack and a load of things inside it, and he lit it and he went away. And as a young boy of 10 or 11 years of age, I stood beside that fire with a big pitchfork and poked at it and played with it and threw things into it. And I come into the house about 2 or 3 hours later, and you could smell the smoke off me. There was no hiding it, and there was no denying it. But such was the presence and the power of God that these men didn't even have the smell of smoke upon them. And such was the move of the Spirit in the heart of Nebuchadnezzar that he says in verse number 28, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Verse 29, "Therefore I make a decree." And it was concerning the nations coming and worshiping Christ. They had proved God. And they had proved the presence of God and the power of God and the promises of God and the purpose of God. And dear friends, the land was a lot better for it. So you see today how we as God's people, whenever we prove God and prove the promises of God and live for God and don't live a compromising faith, that we are indeed the salt of the earth and God is glorified. The very last lesson from the fiery furnace is this, in closing, that the fire was only temporary. Verse 26 says at the end of the verse, "Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire." The fire didn't last forever. It was but for a short while. And the trial of their faith ultimately came to an end for a season. And they stepped out of the fire and they could look back and say that the fire was only temporary. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 17, Paul says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." You're going through a fiery trial today. Who knows, but weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And even if you were to go through that fiery trial for the rest of your life, whenever you close your eyes in death and open your eyes in eternal life, and behold the Son of God, your light affliction is just for a moment. The old Puritan Thomas Watson said, "Affliction may be lasting, but it is not everlasting. Weeping endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." And so the lessons from the furnace are these. Those who love and honor God face trials. Sometimes those who honor God the most are tried the most. People watch you in the fiery trial. God's grace will not lead you where God's grace cannot keep you. God's presence is manifested in a special way in the fire. The trial of faith is often used to further God's cause, but the fire was only temporary. The fire was only temporary, but let me tell you that hell fire isn't. Maybe today there's individuals here that are not saved. And maybe you're facing trials in life. And I want to tell you that the fiery trial that anyone faces in this life is nothing compared to everlasting destruction. Jesus Christ said concerning the ungodly that they shall be cast out into everlasting darkness. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He talked about everlasting fire. Revelation 14:11 says that the smoke of their torments ascendeth forever and forever and forever, and they have no rest day or night. The trial and the fiery trial of the Christian is only temporary. But hellfire for the unsaved is eternal. Are you saved today? Is the God of Daniel and the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is that God your God today? Have you got a shelter in the storm, a cleft in the rock? You can be saved today if you trust the Son of God. Give him your heart and give him your life. And then whenever life throws trials at you, you'll have a shelter from the storm. We're going to sing just a verse or two of number 46 as we close our meeting this morning.